Been installing Michigan-made products for almost 75 years now. Hometown products and hometown service provided by your friends and neighbors at Wolverine Water since 1947. How about that for a cool drink of water? Wolverine Water. I've been a customer for over 20 years too. If you're ready for the very best, you're ready for Wolverine Water. WolverineWaterSystems.com.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan's leading news provider, delivering real, honest news to Michiganders statewide.
From your Michigan News Source Sports Desk, I'm Brock Palmbush. Former Pro Bowl center Frank Ragnow of the Detroit Lions is coming out of retirement to rejoin the team that drafted him in the first round back in 2018. The Lions officially announced it on social media yesterday. However, he will not be active for today's game against Green Bay. The Detroit Pistons saw their 13-game winning streak come to an end at the hands of the Boston Celtics, losing on the road 117-114 last night in NBA Cup play. Cade Cunningham had a chance to tie the game in the final seconds, but he missed the third of three free throws with just 4 seconds left. Jaylen Brown led the Celtics with 33 points. Cade Cunningham had 42 in a losing cause for the Pistons, who are off until Friday when they host the Orlando Magic. And the Nashville Predators scored 5 goals in the third period to erase a 2-1 deficit, and they beat the Detroit Red Wings last night at Little Caesars Arena 6-3. From your Michigan News Source Sports Desk, I'm Brock Palmbush.
Tomorrow is happening right now. Today, more than ever, the world needs safe, secure, sustainable, and affordable sources of energy. That's why Enbridge is advancing new technologies to reduce emissions, like carbon capture and hydrogen power. By putting in the work today, we're bridging to a cleaner energy future. Tomorrow is on. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
Pure Michigan water has never been more important than it is today. You can find your Pure Michigan water experts at Wolverine Water. Wolverine Water has been installing Michigan-made products for almost 75 years now. Hometown products and hometown service provided by your friends and neighbors at Wolverine Water since 1947. How about that for a cool drink of water? Wolverine Water. I've been a customer for over 20 years, too. If you're ready for the very best, you're ready for Wolverine Water. WolverineWaterSystems.com.
Road Trip, The Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall is the perfect book that will change the way that you think and will positively impact your life. 123 good words, motivational, inspirational definitions, and packed with very cool poems for each word is a readable experience that you will visit time and time again. Available on Amazon Books and Barnes & Noble. Road Trip, Likely to Succeed, makes the perfect graduation gift. Enjoy reading Road Trip, Likely to Succeed A to Z, The Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall.
And now for your holiday enjoyment, a special Thanksgiving program, The Gift of Thanks.
Hello and welcome to this special Thanksgiving program. I'm Jerry Stewart. In the year 1621, when the Pilgrims celebrated that first Thanksgiving, they had no idea we would celebrate that same Thanksgiving today, almost 400 years later. And the interesting thing is that our celebration today is almost identical to that first Thanksgiving. Think about it. They had food. Lots of food. There was venison and turkey. They had biscuits called hoe cakes with maple syrup. There was corn on the cob, fresh vegetables, and desserts like blueberry, apple, and cherry pie. It was a fabulous feast. And interestingly enough, at that first Thanksgiving, the Indians introduced something the white man had never seen before. Popcorn. And who came to this great celebration? Lots of people. It was a great gathering of friends and family, just like today. And after the meal, they played games. The Pilgrims and Indians competed in shooting contests with their guns and bows. They even had foot races and wrestling matches. Yes, that first Thanksgiving was much like what we still do today, with one exception. There was no television, no football games. And you know what? They never even missed it. It was a wonderful celebration. So wonderful that it lasted 3 full days. But the real reason that first Thanksgiving celebration was so successful was that the Pilgrims were so very thankful. You might say they had the gift of thanks. And there are still people today who have that same gift. You know who I'm talking about. Those people who never see the tank half empty. It's always full. And when they look at the dark cloud, they somehow always manage to see the silver lining. And they never let the harshest storm keep them from seeing that beautiful rainbow that follows. They have that very special gift to be thankful in just about every circumstance. And today, we're going to hear the stories of people with this same very special gift of thanks. You'll hear the true story of a young singing group, the Liberty Trio, and how on one Thanksgiving Eve trip to a military hospital in 1965, not only did they see the gift of thanks, they found out how they could give the gift of thanks, sometimes without even knowing it. You'll hear the story of a man, a cruel and harsh man, a slave trader, a man who made his very living off the misery and suffering of others. But then one night, as he fought for his own life, something quite miraculous happened, and his life was changed forever. We all know one of his songs, one of the most meaningful songs ever sung, and today you're going to hear the story of the man behind that song. And finally, there's the story of William, a man so severely handicapped he couldn't even hold a job, yet he taught everyone just what it meant to be truly thankful. Today, you'll hear these powerful stories and so much more. But first, let me tell you a story. An absolutely amazing story. An unbelievable story. The true story of that first Thanksgiving. These people we know today as pilgrims were a group of dedicated Christians, dedicated to the conviction that they should follow God wherever He might lead them. So in 1619, when the pilgrims were making their difficult decision whether to travel to this new land, America, or to stay in Europe, finally, there was no doubt. They believed that God wanted them to go to America. Oh, they knew it wouldn't be easy. They had heard of the great hardships they would face. It had already been reported that as many as 50% of the people in the Jamestown settlement had died, and that of all the people traveling to America, only about 40% ever made it back. But even with all that, the pilgrims still could not have imagined just how serious their hardships would really be. And unfortunately, they were soon to find out. It was now November 1620, and the pilgrims waded the icy waters of the Atlantic, waded in on the beach to finally reach America. They were at the place we know today as Plymouth Rock, and sad to say, it seemed very unlikely they would survive. They were wet and cold. They had no tents or shelters to protect them from the harsh winter ahead. Their trip across the Atlantic had taken far too long, longer than they expected, and most all of their food was now gone. A fierce storm had blown their ship far off course, and they were now hundreds of miles north of their intended destination. There were no other colonies. No one else was there but the Indians. Now, these explorers weren't survivalists. They were simple people, 102 men, women, and children who had come to America to start a new life. And they were now tired and cold and hungry. Yes, it certainly seemed that every circumstance was against them. But there was one thing, one very important thing. They had brought with them Almighty God. As a group, they had determined long ago through fasting and prayer that the only way they could make this long and dangerous journey to this new land, America, and to survive was that if Almighty God was with them to guide and protect them. They had knelt on the beach before boarding the Mayflower, and they had prayed a simple prayer, "Thy will be done." Then it was in God's hands. But just what kind of job had God done so far? They had so little food. They had no shelter to protect them from the coming winter. You'd think they would be angry and frustrated, but they weren't. The first thing they did upon their arrival, while still wearing those wet and freezing clothes soaked in the icy waters of the Atlantic, the first thing they did was to kneel and thank God for their deliverance. But they still couldn't understand why God had brought them here, so far off course. It was a new and mysterious land. They had been told the terrible stories of how savage Indians had killed so many of the new settlers, but here they were, and there was no trace of Indians at all. In fact, no signs of any life, no human life at all. There was another mystery. They discovered a 20-acre plot of land that had been plowed and prepared for planting, but no one had planted. It was deserted. Just who had prepared the land, and where were they now? The pilgrims were to discover much later that not long before their arrival, this area had been inhabited by a number of Indian tribes, and one of the tribes, the Pawtuxets, was the fiercest of all tribes, and they hated the white man so much they had killed everyone who had come. And believe it or not, these were the ones, the Pawtuxet Indians, were the ones who had plowed and prepared that field. But then a terrible plague had struck their tribe, killing every man, woman, and child. And when the other Indian tribes heard of this plague, they had all quickly moved away, far away, for fear of catching it. So, miraculously, this area, Plymouth Rock, was actually free from any Indian attacks. Plus, there was good soil for planting, a number of fresh springs with excellent drinking water, and this plot of land already was prepared for planting. And later, when the pilgrims learned all this and finally understood the mystery, it was obvious why they were here. God had prepared it just for them, and they were thankful. But the difficult question facing the pilgrims now was just how would they survive this harsh winter to come? And they had no idea just how harsh and devastating that first winter would be, and that many of them would not live to see the spring. As they worked to prepare themselves for the coming winter, winter came far too soon, and by December the worst was already there. As the pilgrims worked to build their shelters, their hands were so cold they could hardly hold their axes, and their bodies began to break down. The harsh weather, the long, exhausting work, the lack of food, sleeping on the cold, damp ground, these were all too much. There was consumption and pneumonia, and the pilgrims began to die. There were 6 in December, 8 in January. In February, they were dying at a rate of almost 2 a day. At one point in the whole company, there were only 5 men well enough to care for the others. What would happen? And then came someone into their camp. It was an Indian. Had he come to kill them all? I'm taking a break now, but when we return, you'll hear the amazing story of how God saved the pilgrims. I'm Jerry Stewart. I'll be back with more of this special Thanksgiving program after these messages.
Hello, this is Kelly Stewart. Jerry and I want to thank you for listening today. This may be your first time to hear Jerry tell these stories, or maybe you're one of his first listeners over 20 years ago. Either way, it is important to find stories about America and share these stories with others. Why? To encourage us all to do our own part and keep America as a good and great nation. It is so important that we use these special holidays in our America to remember, to honor, and to keep clear our vision for a better America. That's what this Thanksgiving program today is all about, not just to entertain us, but to use stories from the past to lead and direct us as we go forward.
And what's our job? To spread these stories that are being told with our families, our schools, our churches. So today, we have something special to offer. Kelly, what do we have for our listeners today?
We invite you to call our office at 817-995-4607. When you call, you can ask about today's special program offer Jerry and I put together just for our listeners to help you and your family as we all work together and pray for our America. That number again, 817-995-4607, or online at www.jerrystewartusa.com. Let's all do our own part, and let's get back to praying for America. Let's make today a special start, a day of prayer, a day of continuing to pray for our America. Our America is worth saving. God bless you all.
And just what should we be praying for in this Thanksgiving? A return back to God in America.
That number again, 817-995-4607, or online at www.jerrystewartusa.com.
Are you sick and tired of the same old political talking points with no real solutions? Inaction isn't leadership. It's time for new leadership in Michigan's 1st District. Someone with fresh perspectives, new ideas, and a willingness to listen to the people they serve. It's time for change. I'm Justin Michael, and I'm running for U.S. Congress to put Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula back on track. Let's bridge the divides together. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
If you have pain in your neck, back, shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet, Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hello and welcome back to this special Thanksgiving program. I'm Jerry Stewart. Just before the break, I was telling you the story of these folks we know today as Pilgrims, a small band of Christian people who traveled to America because that's what they believed God was leading them to do. But that how it took them so long to get across the Atlantic, so long that they ran out of food, so long that winter was already upon them when they landed, how they had to wade ashore in the freezing, icy, cold water, how they came to this land and there were no other colonists. Their ship had been driven way off course. They were far north at a place we know today as Plymouth Rock, how when they landed, Instead of being angry with God and wondering what in the world was going to happen, instead they got on their knees and thanked God for their safe arrival. But just what would they do now? Their food was almost gone. The winter was upon them. They had no shelters to protect them, but they determined to do one thing, to believe. As they worked to prepare themselves for that coming winter, winter came far too soon. And by December, the worst was already there. Then came consumption, pneumonia, and the pilgrims began to die. There were 6 in December, 8 in January. In February, they were dying at a rate of almost 2 a day. At one point in the whole company, there were only 5 men well enough to care for the others. But amazingly, through all this, there were no accounts of murmuring or despair. Instead, as their numbers dropped, they drew even closer together and trusted God all the more. And finally, when the worst was over, they had lost 47 people. Almost half of their original number had died. But remarkably, through it all, their hearts remained soft toward God. But just what were they to do now? They were weak and hungry, and they had no one to help them, until one day a stranger came into their camp. It was an Indian. His name was Squanto. At first, the pilgrims were afraid that he was there to kill them all, part of a scouting party, and that a tribe of Indians would follow shortly to kill them all. But instead, much to their surprise, this young Indian, Squanto, spoke English, and he told them an unbelievable story. He told them that he was part of that same hostile tribe, the Pawtuxets, who hated and killed the white man. But years ago, he had been captured by explorers and taken back to England. And there, he had learned to speak English. He learned the ways of the white man, and for a while, how he lived in a monastery, and he learned the ways of God and the Bible. Well, finally, he was allowed to return back to his tribe. But upon his return, just 6 months before the pilgrims arrived, he made his way back to his tribe and received a tragic blow. Not a single person was alive. No one was there. Nothing but skulls and bones. The plague, that horrible plague, had killed them all. His family was gone. He was devastated. For weeks, he wandered aimlessly, not knowing what to do. Without his family, he had no reason to live until now. He saw these pilgrims as little babes, so ignorant to the ways and wild of this new world. They would become his family. He would commit himself to teaching them and saving their lives. And he did. He taught them how to fish and stalk deer, how to find herbs good to eat and for medicine. But most of all, he taught them how to plant corn the Indian way. With Squanto's help, they did survive. He had saved their lives. God had sent Squanto into their camp, and they had survived. That next summer, they all worked hard to plant crops and store foods for the coming winter. By fall, they had enough food to last them through the entire winter, they thought. But in November, a ship from home dropped anchor, and 35 of their fellow pilgrims joined them. It was a joyous reunion, but there was a serious problem now. These 35 new colonists brought with them nothing. No extra clothing, no tools, no